Hello again, this is Thompson Smiley with another of those incidents where we take our monthly Louisville magazine column Smiley's Picks into the studios of WUOL, and I'm delighted to welcome a colleague and friend, Jim Reitmeier, who's the director of Louisville Choral Arts and who will lead a performance of Mozart's stunning, I think is the right word, Requiem, on the 23rd of March at St. Francis in the Fields with his admirable choral arts group. Welcome, Jim.
Thank you very much.
What interests one, I think, almost most about this event is the whole complex issue of editions. You know, what version of the piece are you going to perform? And, of course, the obvious answer is, well, the published one and all that. But tell me a little about the background of the piece. It was the last thing Mozart wrote, and he died in the middle of writing it.
Absolutely. In 1791, he died. He had been commissioned to write this Requiem and had begun it and had completed the first two movements completely, the Requiem Aeternum movement followed by a Kyrie, a fugue on a Kyrie. He completed that with orchestrations. But the entire rest of the work, he had beginnings of each of the movements, but had not fleshed out the music or written any of the orchestrations.
What most of us know about the Mozart Requiem, if anything, is from the movie Amadeus, right, where a dying Mozart dictates it to Salieri. Right. But we know this is poppycock.
Well. But
he was assisted in completing it, obviously.
He was, and he had a student, Süssmayr, Herr Süssmayr, who was able to complete the work on Mozart's death. And so a good portion of the Mozart Requiem is actually completed by his student, his 24-year-old student.
Completed or created?
Well, created.
Yes.
Both, because Mozart left certain melodic ideas. He wrote the first eight measures of the beautiful Lacrimosa movement for chorus and orchestra, but Süssmayr completed it and made a complete movement out of it. And that had to be his own work.
But had he worked with Mozart for a long time? I mean, did he know his style? Know his
he didn't. Yes, he was his most gifted student. So.
Yes, clearly, because there's no feeling, I don't think, about the Requiem as there is, let's say, about Turandot, which was completed by a fairly workmanlike composer called Alfano. There's no feeling that, oh God, we can leave now. This is the point
right,
at which
right,
Mozart died.
Right. No. It is Süssmayr's edition was a very good completion. It must be noted at this point that this performance of Mozart's Requiem will be in a completion by Robert Lehmann, a completion in 1996, so a very recent addition to the oeuvre of choral works. And no doubt the listeners to this program and those familiar with the Mozart Requiem will be surprised at a couple of the changes. The most significant change is the addition of a complete fugue at the end of the second part of the Requiem, and it's an Amen fugue, completely written. There was no inkling of this music left from Mozart, but it completes the form of the work in the style of the choral music of that time. Typically, each section of a choral composition would end with a full-fledged fugue. Mm-hmm. So, at the end of the first section, there's a Kyrie fugue. And at the end of the third section, there is already a fugue. But there is no fugue for the middle section of the work. And so Mr. Lehmann has written a complete Amen fugue.
Has he gone back to the absolute bare bones of what Mozart left, or has he taken Süssmayr and doctored it?
Both, yes. He did. He did not throw out Süssmayr, but he did go back to the original sources, so he knew what was in Mozart's hand.
Mm-hmm.
And then he carefully chose, he picked a fair amount of what Süssmayr added, but he changed the orchestration, and most significantly, he added this fugue.
I think for a lot of people, you think of a Mozart Requiem, and you probably think of something sort of neat and classical and sounding a bit like Haydn, perhaps, or even early Mozart. My wife and I listened to it in preparation for your performance, listened to it again, and were struck by, you know, the almost romantic fervor of it.
Absolutely.
It's a ballsy work, isn't it?
It really is truly passionate.
Mm.
I have to say that it was from the movie Amadeus that I became enamored of the work and just thought, oh my goodness, very, very passionate and intense.
And very powerful. Mozart, very powerful. I don't think, was particularly orthodox in his religion. I mean, he was a Freemason, and, right. which is almost the same as being anti-Catholic, but he certainly could be inspired by that greatest of all poems, I think, the classical Latin Mass.
Absolutely.
It's an extraordinary work, but I'm very excited too that two personal friends are going to be among the four soloists. Emily Albrink, who's a startlingly good soprano with Louisville connections, Louisville native, and Stephen Paul Spears, whom we both know most recently from The Burning Fiery Furnace
right.
at St. Francis in the Fields. Two really outstanding talents, and both local.
Absolutely. We're glad to be able to sponsor the local talent.
Yes. And what size chorus we have? Is this one of these works that's sort of played by the Huddersfield Choral Society and the Combined Symphony Orchestra?
It is one of the works that works at any level. We are singing with a chorus of 45 for this, so it's a moderate size. It could be a smaller group, but it's not. I think it's small enough that it will still have lightness,
yes.
and ability to move.
But plenty of weight also.
Plenty of weight.
And you're changing some of the orchestration or the nature of the players.
Well, and this again comes from this layman reconstruction of the work. He specifies some period instruments if they're available. So rather than clarinets, we're using basset horns, which are essentially the predecessor of the modern day clarinet. And rather than trombones, the predecessors were sackbuts, so there will be sackbut players in the orchestra.
Excellent. Though in fact, trombones had been invented, hadn't they? Because they used them in the magic flute.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
But for a church, perhaps it was considered inappropriate. Right. Who knows?
Well, I think the advantage of the sackbuts is that a great many of the audience members perhaps won't notice the difference. It's just a lighter, smaller sounding instrument, which
and
is perfect.
And it's a woodier sound rather than the brassy sound.
Right, right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So let's get the essentials down. Again, it's at 8 p.m. on Friday, the 23rd of March at St. Francis in the Fields, the junction of 42 and Wolf Pen. And the number to call is 228-1176. I'm talking to Jim Reitmeier, who's the director of Louisville Choral Arts, about a performance of Mozart's, again, that word stunning, stunning requiem. I think it's a piece that works best of all, obviously, in a church, don't you?
I agree.
It's one of these pieces like Monteverdi that's almost, the Vespers, that's almost a sort of pièce de locale, as the frogs say. And it works, he seems almost to use the resonances of a church with long amens,
yes.
which seem as if they'll never die off.
I think it's often true for choral music that churches are often the best venues because a chorus is dependent entirely on the resonance of the room. And to have a nice, resonant, warm room is absolutely critical.
Yes.
And of course, and just with the addition of the theological overtones, it just makes absolute sense.
Yeah, and it's just such a lovely venue, I think, St. Francis in the Field.
And works very, very well for choral and instrumental music.
You should know you designed it, didn't
you?
More or
had
less
a hand in
it. Okay, one last time. 8 p.m. on the 23rd, Friday the 23rd at St. Francis in the Fields, and this is an absolutely no-miss concert by Jim Reitmeier and Louisville Choral Arts Society Mozart Requiem. The number to call is 228-1176. That's 228-1176. Jim Reitmeier, thank you very much indeed.
Thank you so much, Thompson.